team, a lot of the times my attitude was, you know, I just show up on Fridays or Saturdays for practice, and I would take a look at the song list and say, oh, I know the song, I know the song, I know the song, I know the song. I know what we're supposed to do in the third song. After the second chorus, we'll go into this tagline and we'll do this riff, and then it's all very simple after, you know, so many years of playing on worship teams. And, you know, in some ways I would mail it in. I wouldn't really put too much effort into it because it was so simple. It was so routine. But that's not to say that, you know, I wouldn't approach worship with a worshipful heart. It's not like, oh, this is just a performance. This is just me doing a job. We would come together as a team to pray for our hearts, to check our hearts, and also to pray for the congregation and to pray for God's word to be proclaimed, and, you know, for people to just be on fire and to really praise his name for that particular service. And I thought that was good enough. But what comes with being part of worship team and doing it so often becomes so routine that you think that, oh, I show up and I pray these prayers. It's kind of like I flick a switch. And once I do that, the Holy Spirit will come and the Holy Spirit will minister. But as I was preparing to lead the entire congregation in worship, God was starting to challenge me and my mindset, my attitude. So when I was preparing, I actually spent a lot of time prepping because it's something I'd never done before. And I really needed his help, primarily, or the help of the Holy Spirit, primarily because one of my weaknesses is actually singing. I'm not that great at singing. So I was always praying to him, like, Lord, I really need your help. I need your help to hit these notes, or I just need your help to really to strengthen me and to, you know, give me peace that it's not about how I sound, but really it's praising you. So help me keep my mind on you. Help me focus on you. So it's really spending a lot of time just coming before the Lord and worshiping him myself in my own private time, and reminding myself that worship is about him. It's not about how I sound. It's not about how good our set is. And in that time of preparation, I really found that God was, you know, was really speaking to me. Because I was going to him, Holy Spirit, I'm here. You know, I need your help. I'm at your mercy. And as I was praying that, he went to me and said, okay, well, why don't you think about this? And he drew me to verse 9 in Psalm 96. It says, worship the Lord in holy attire. And as I pondered it, and as I meditated upon that verse, I found that God was wanting me to look at my attitude about how I worship. And the questions I found myself asking is, you know, what is my attitude like when I am worshiping him? Am I putting on holy attire, as the verse says? Am I, you know, clothing myself with holiness when I come to worship him, when I come before him? And I started thinking about how the priests in Israel worshiped. And I actually look back to Aaron and his sons during in Exodus. So for them, when they approached God at the temple to worship, the priests would put on these special clothes or special garments as was commanded by God. So in Exodus 28:2, God commands Moses to, or he says to Moses, you shall make holy garments for Aaron, your brother, for glory and for beauty. So he would wear these clothes when approaching the tabernacle to offer sacrifices. But it wasn't just the clothes that Aaron had to put on. It wasn't just the holy attire that he made. Actually, Exodus 28, the whole entire chapter talks about the kind, goes into painstaking detail about the clothes that Moses was to create for Aaron, like the robes, and there'd be a gold waistband, and there'd be the Urim and the Thummim, and the breastplate, and it's intricate detail about what Aaron should be wearing when he goes into the tabernacle. So God takes a lot of detail in how Aaron presented himself. But it wasn't just the outward appearance, too. In Leviticus 8, it details the consecration process for Aaron and his sons as priests. So not only would they put on the holy garment that was very there was a lot of thought put into making those garments, but also the consecration process. So Leviticus 8 shows that worshiping God wasn't just a matter of outward appearances. See, they took the time. Actually, it took the whole entire chapter of Leviticus 8 talks about the process they would have to go through in order just to get into the temple or the tabernacle to offer sacrifices to God. And it's this huge, long chapter. I won't take the time to go into it, but you can read it after. But it shows that they took a lot of time and care to ensure that their hearts were right before God and that they had dealt with their sin and their baggage before coming into God's presence, because God's presence was so holy, was so pure. And as I was thinking about that, I thought about, God was taking me to my attitude and how I prepared myself for Sunday. Just as an example, just taking a look at Sunday, because that's when we typically have in our minds when we do worship. And, God was really bringing out this question, do I prepare myself in the same manner that Aaron and his sons did for Sunday? Do I spend all that time not only, putting on nice clothes, because, for worship team members, we're not going to go up there wearing flip-flops, shorts, and a ratty t-shirt. We want to be presentable before God. But also at the same time, have I prepared my heart? Or am I just coming on Sundays or even just for practice and practicing a few songs and thinking, I've did my part. I've done good enough. Yeah, so do we prepare our hearts beforehand? And I found God saying to me, Andrew, if you don't prepare your heart beforehand, if you think you can just come in and expect worship to happen, then, essentially, I am telling God that I am worshiping Him on my schedule and I'm on my terms, which is the exact opposite of what worship is. And worship is always about God. It's not about me and when it's convenience or when I want to worship or how I want to worship. If God is as good as we proclaim Him to be in the songs that we sing, then why do we still relegate Him, or why do we still worship Him on our schedule? Why do we relegate Him to our schedule and to fit our needs and our timing? The psalmist, there's, just some of the verses in Psalm 96. For great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. If we really truly believe that, why do we say, I got a few things to do before service. 5 minutes late, it's okay. I'm not saying anyone here, but the first 5 minutes, we don't really do anything anyways, right? What do? You sit, watch the video, have coffee outside. But the latter part of verse 4, he says, He is to be feared above all gods. And here we are telling Him that we have other things to tend to. Now, do we really have that fear of God in our hearts? Or even verse 8, bring an offering and come into His courts. We're coming to His house. It's not that we're inviting Him into our house. It's not that we're inviting Him into our church or our sanctuary. But we are going to His house. We are going to worship Him on His time. And, we're not asking Him to come into our time of worship between 9:05 and 9:30 or 9:15, 9:20. Really, I'm preaching to myself here too. Because there are times when we're doing worship on Sundays, and in between, before when we had two services, in between the two services, we would have Sunday lunch for all the servants upstairs and for the worship team. I one thing when I was serving under Pastor Hansu when he was a worship leader, one thing that really irked me, but I knew it shouldn't have irked me, was we would have lunch, but then we would finish service around, I think it was maybe 1:50 or 1:45 back then. And before we went upstairs for lunch, he would say, okay, worship team, come back at 2:10. I'm like, dude, that's only 25 minutes. The reason why we come back at 2:10 is so that we could practice again. I'm like, dude, we practice Saturday morning. We practice this morning. He wants us to practice again. And I really had to check my heart in those times because I wanted to spend my lunchtime, you know, have a nice lunch, take my time, and you know, not really be rushed. But I understood, I had to check my heart and really understand what was his point of doing that. It's because we want to give our best to God. We want to be prepared to worship him. We want to put on that holy attire. We want to have our hearts right. So as I was preparing to lead worship the past few Sundays, I was really reminded of, or God was really speaking to me about my attitude towards worship. So, what's my point? I think it's pretty simple. And worshiping God should always be done on his terms, because worship is about him. There's a story in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. This is the story of Jehoshaphat that really, I think for me, highlights how our attitude should be when it comes to worship. So in this story, Jehoshaphat, he's the king of Judah, and the Moabites and the Ammonites are coming together to make war against Jehoshaphat. So Jehoshaphat, he goes towards God and prays, and God comes with direction through Jehaziel, one of the prophets at the time. Sorry, one of the Levites at the time. So he says in verse 16, "Tomorrow, go down against them. Behold, they will come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the valley in front of the wilderness of Jeruel. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out to face them, for the Lord is with you." So, I put myself in his shoes, or in this time, and you know, there are two armies, not one, but two armies coming against you. And the Lord is telling you that you need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand and see. In the face of imminent war, that's probably one of the last things we would want to do. Or our natural inclination is, are you sure? I know you're God, but do you not see the two armies here? But credit to Jehoshaphat, he listens to God. And not only does he listen to God, but in verses 20, "They rose early in the morning and went out to the wilderness of Tekoa. And when they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Listen to me, O Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Put your trust in the Lord and your God, and you will be established. Put your trust in his prophets and succeed.' When he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the Lord and said, 'Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting.'" So they went out as the Lord commanded. And so the army went out and they stood there. But notice the order of the procession. Before the army was those who were praising the Lord. So Jehoshaphat, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised with him in holy attire as they went out before the army. So here you have the army. They're all dressed and prepared and ready for battle. So they're wearing armor. They're protected. But before them, in front of them, at the front of the procession, are those who are praising God, who are worshiping him, who are not wearing any protection from, you know, arrows and spears or swords. They're wearing holy garments, holy attire, worshiping the Lord, and really trusting in the word of the Lord, and just going out before him and saying, "You are our God, you will deliver us, we praise you, we worship you." And in the face of danger, and because they did that, what actually happened is the Lord set ambushes against the sons of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir. And essentially, the two armies wiped out each other. They killed themselves. How that happened, I don't know, but that's how God works. He made it happen. And you know, when we, the lesson we can take this from this is, you know, when we worship God on his terms, he does many wonderful things for us. You know, we don't, there might be a lot of things in our lives that we say, oh, you know, I have this job interview, or I have this family situation I need to take care of, or I got all these different things that I got to handle first. But if we come before the Lord and just say, you know, Lord, I worship you, I prepare my heart to come before you, and I really come before you in holy attire, in reverence, in fear, in awe of you. Now, all those other things that we need to deal with, God will take care of. God knows the things we are going through. And if you look at verse 25, this really kind of takes the cake. So when Jehoshaphat and his people came to take their spoil, they found much among them, including goods, garments, and valuable things, which they took for themselves, more than they could carry. And they were 3 days taking the spoil because there was so much. 3 days it took them to get all the spoils of war. And they didn't even have to fight. They just went down like, okay, I'll take this, I'll take this. And it took them 3 days to get all the stuff. So, hello? Worshiping God should always be done on his terms. And you know, one thing that I don't think I've all have time to touch on, but you know, worshiping or worship isn't just limited to Sundays. You know, a lot of times in our minds we think, oh, worship, yeah, that's a time where we sing. Not quite. You know, we praise God. We praise God on Sundays during our worship service. But worship is our entire lives. This is something we need to be, you know, I need to be constantly reminded of, that it's not just Sundays, it's not just Fridays, it's not, you know, 7:30 on Tuesdays and Fridays at EMP where we sing. Our worship is how we act out our lives. Romans 12:1 says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship." See, it's not just our voices or the actions that we do to songs and family worship that we sing on Sundays, but it is our bodies and our lives that make up our worship to God. And it's how we treat our colleagues, how we treat our families, the thoughts that we think, the words that we say. Yeah, so as Ernie comes up to pray for worship, let us ask ourselves, are we putting on holy attire as we come before the Lord? Not just on Sundays. You know, although Sundays is important, but in our lives, in our everyday lives, are we putting on that holy attire? Are we preparing our hearts and our minds and our bodies? Are we consecrating ourselves for his service? You know, it's good that we put on nice clothes, but you know, why are we doing this? Is it for ourselves or is it for God? So as Ernie leads us in worship, Let's just think about our lives and, you know, what are some ways that God is calling us? What are some areas that God is telling us that, hey, maybe you should pay more attention in this area of your life in terms of consecrating yourself and putting on that holy attire?
Through it all.
This morning, if we've taken worship for granted or just shown up and offered token praises, let's repent before the Lord and really resolve to, you know, truly repent and to come before Him and to prepare our hearts to worship every single day. Not just on Sundays, but every single day. Let's turn to our community prayer focus. Let's pray for those who are who have cancer and are undergoing chemo and radiation therapy. to also pray for those in our community who are sick and also are still waiting for Lord's salvation. Let's pray for their families, that as they pray for their family members, they are filled with the hope of God and perseverance to continue praying for salvation and also healing for their family members. Let's also pray for those who are suffering from various infirmities. Let's pray for those in our community that are looking for jobs. Let's pray that God opens doors for them and shows them the opportunity. It's our Wednesday morning prayer focus. Let's pray for China and SV Beijing. Let's pray for Pihan Su and Chloe and Enoch. Let's pray for the Beijing and the congregation that they are pastoring. Let's pray for growth and just for people to really come to a deeper understanding of God and everything that He has for that family. Let's also pray for the Chongs, Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark, and the rest of the churches in China. Let's also pray for the board. PSAM is leaving for the USA, so let's keep him in prayer. And also the rest of the members of the board, Kiwan, Brian, Sandro, Max, Jackie, and Yiling. Let's really pray for God's wisdom and discernment to be upon them as they meet and just deliberate the various things going on at church and directions about ministries and so on and so forth. So let's lift them up in our prayers. Let's pray for our fellowship ministries, the men's ministry, their Monday morning prayer group, Pure Desire, men's fraternity. Let's also pray for the women's ministry, their Monday morning prayer, their discipleship, and also their retreat in September. Yeah, let's really lift that retreat up. And also the young adults ministry led by Pastor Ken. And it's pray for the house churches that are meeting tonight. This is the last week of house churches, so it's for Causeway Bay, East Enders, Island, New Conduit, Cimbria, and Lime Rock. As they meet tonight, it's really pray that they end this house church season with on a high note and heading into the summer break. Let's pray. Father, we just want to come before you and really prepare our hearts every single day as we go about the lives that you have given to us. Prepare our hearts to be a living and holy sacrifice to you as our spiritual worship to you, God. Help us always be in that mindset of honoring you, glorifying you, magnifying your name, declaring your name to the people in our lives. May you be pleased with our worship, Father. So God, be with my brothers and sisters, Lord, as they go off to work, as they do the things they do in their lives, Father. Be with them. May your presence be with them, God. May your favor fall upon them. We thank you, God. We love you in your Son's most precious name we pray. Amen.